At least 57,000 college students are homeless, according to tallies from educators. And it's coast to coast. The University of California system said last year that about 1 in 10 of its students was homeless. 1 in 5 didn't have enough to eat. And a recent survey of Massachusetts colleges shows nearly half had an increase in homeless students in the past year. Here now is Peter O'Dowd, visited one campus.
I want to go everywhere. Mr. Tom, what's going on, my brother?
How you doing, man?
You're a popular guy.
I am. Yeah.
Lorenz Marsalis is the kind of student who struts through a busy college campus with confidence. But the senior at Bridgewater State University in eastern Massachusetts isn't a typical student. He moved here from Haiti at 14. When he was a high school senior, his father ran out of money to pay the rent. So the lanky, gregarious teenager moved with his family into a motel and eventually into a homeless shelter.
And I remember after school thinking, where am I going to sleep tonight, kind of thing. And it wasn't easy. It was hard on me mentally.
Marsalis excelled at school against the odds. Research shows the stress of homelessness and hunger wreaks havoc on a student's performance. So I asked Marsalis to take me to one of 2 food banks at Bridgewater State. It's where we met campus minister Marlene De Leon.
Here it is. It's not big.
Actually, the food bank is tiny, just a few shelves tucked away in a corner at the Catholic Center.
We got some, looks like some bags of pasta here and
pasta.
Standard fare for a college campus.
Very popular.
Right?
Also popular is this cold cereal up there. Not that I think that's the best nutritious breakfast, but that's what students like. You can see corn. We have lots of canned vegetables.
Got some cut yams, some green beans, some black beans. Right. Tell me about the need.
So on campus, the need has increased. Most students here work. I would say 95% of the students work probably at least 20 hours a week. And that's to pay for all of their expenses of school, but also a car. And they may run out. So they come here and they supplement what they're doing for their own food with the food here.
So the students going here, there's a gap between what they can make and what they get in aid. There's often, you're saying, there's just still not enough.
Correct. Correct. And you also have students who may be homeless. They may have been foster children. They're now at an age where they're no longer cared for by a parent or a guardian. Some of the students don't have any housing and have to be here during vacation. They need food during that vacation.
Before I met Lorenz, I didn't often think about college kids and homelessness. You don't often put the two together, but you're saying that it is a real problem.
It's a reality, yes. And it's a hidden reality.
And it's a reality that researchers are trying to learn more about. The problem appears to be growing, along with tuition rates, student debt, and the cost of living in American cities.
There's a lot more need out there.
Michelle Wakin runs the Bridgewater Scholars Program, which gives up to 2 high-achieving students like Lorenz Marsalis a scholarship to cover tuition and living expenses. At some point in their lives, Wakin says every student on the scholarship has been homeless.
Defining what homelessness is really difficult. It's episodic. You never know when it's going to hit your family or for how long it's going to hit or whether it's going to mean, you know, couch surfing.
I met a few of Wakin scholars who know very well what it's like.
My story, I came from my country, Kivert, when I was 15 years old.
Anna Lobo moved to the United States without her parents and was promptly kicked out of her sister's house when Lobo told her she was pregnant.
We lived a few months in a basement.
And then moved to a shelter.
And I stayed there for like 8 years.
And so you raised your baby there?
Yes. We went there when she was 6 months. That's when they started supporting us with the school. It was hard for me because of the language, and I had dropped out of school when I was like probably 10 years old in Kivert, and coming back to school was pretty hard, and with the speaking a different language, it was worse, but I got through it, and I got my diploma.
Wow. So what made you decide that you were going to come to college?
My daughter. After I gave birth to her, I had to take a big decision, which was find a better life for her and for me.
Now 27, Lobo wears a big smile and trendy glasses. She's about to graduate with a degree in social work. Next to her is junior Zachary Wright, a math major. He also lived in a shelter for a few months one summer after his mother fled an abusive relationship.
It's a small place. There's, like, no air conditioning. There's nothing to do around there. It's really hot.
7 months later, they got out of the shelter on Cape Cod when Wright's mother found them a new place to live.
So things at that time were looking up. I was doing what I needed to do. I was getting good grades. And then one of the most unexpected things to happen to me happened, which was when I was 16, my mother passed away. And, you know, I didn't have a father, and my stepfather wasn't with us. For some time, I was just by myself with my brother. You know, it's really hard when you have had one, like, main pillar of support for most of your life, and then they just disappear. So,
I'm so sorry to hear that story. What happened after your mother died? You said your brother was around. I mean, where were you guys staying at that point?
So my brother was also in high school with me. Mm-hmm. So we were alone in our housing that we had gotten for a little while until my sister, she was offering to, you know, take us in. She was someone I hadn't seen, like, ever since I was young. So I didn't really have that great relationship with her at that time.
But you knew. So just like everybody else, you knew the way out of this was by going to school, right? I mean, but how did you know that? I mean, how did you have the presence of mind to even know that?
Well, first and foremost, like, public education, it's free. So for me, that's like a prime opportunity. You need to just take it. Because really, it's, you know, the foundation to ending poverty in my eyes.
Yeah. Sure, but somebody had to teach you that. I mean, somebody was a good enough influence on you to sort of tell you that at some point, I guess. Or did that something that come from inside of you, do you think?
I think a part of it was in it, but, you know, my mom was always hammering me that into me ever since I was little.
Wright is shy, but smart. His GPA, nearly perfect. And his story hit a nerve around the table, because the students here know what it's like to have a safety net that's threadbare. For them, the difference between failure and success might be nothing more than a memory of a loved one. That's the way it is for Nayara Semedo, a formerly homeless freshman whose mother lives thousands of miles away on the west coast of Africa.
I feel like it's different when you hear other people's stories, because you think you've been through it all. You think you've hit rock bottom until you hear other people's struggles, you know. I always felt like I was different from my friends because they never been through what I have. They always had, They always had their parents, their mom and dad, to help them with everything. And me, it was just me. And now it feels like I belong because I'm not the only one who has been through what I have. There's different people who, you know, have been through worse. And in a way, it feels good because you know you're not by yourself, you know.
You're not, and you're making it, by the way. I mean, you're doing the work. You're getting through it.
Yeah.
There you go. This is my room.
Before I left Bridgewater, I asked Lorenz Marcellus to show me his apartment. It's typical. He's pinned a Haitian flag on the wall next to a poster of Bob Marley. And it's not lost on him that in a few months he'll need a job and that he'll be leaving the safety of this home.
Knowing that I won't be doing that is kind of scary, and not knowing the next step, so to speak.
Yeah. What kind of perspective do you think you have on life at 23 that most people don't?
For me, it's being humble. It's one thing to hear about homelessness. It's another thing to experience it. I mean, I was humble before, but, you know, that really humbled me more.
Humbled, but determined not to look back. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.